Good afternoon. It's really good to be here. The scriptures that Father Bracken read ministered a lot to me in the last few days because the word life is used a lot. As a matter of fact, some verses later in that John 5 passage, it says, "But the witness which I receive is not from man, but I say these things that you may be saved." And then again, he says in verse 39, speaking of the Pharisees, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is these that bear witness of me. Yet you are unwilling to come to me that you may have life." Now, when he talks about being saved and the word eternal life, just a reminder, in our culture, we just think of being saved like your sins are forgiven and you're going to go to heaven one day. It's like a good Baptist term. But it's more than that, and I love Baptists, and I love the fact they talk about salvation, preach the word of God. But he's not just talking about being saved from my sins in terms of its penalty and getting to go to heaven one day. He talks about being saved from my whole fallen condition. That's why scripture says that we've been made new creations in Christ, because what he came to do is to make all things new. To make you new, to make me new, to make us in the new selves, saved from what we once were, not just from what we once did, but saved from who we were. That's the whole point. And he accomplished this. This is from Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 10. "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son," in other words, if we were lost, "we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved in his life." When the scripture uses the word eternal life, and if you've been around, we've heard us talk about this before, he's not just talking about getting to live forever in heaven. The word eternal life, when Jesus said, "I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly," that's what he's talking about. It's a quality of life. The word actually eternal there isn't, that's translated eternal, really references the age to come kind of life. In other words, a touch of heaven, heavenly life. And when we're told that we're saved in his life, what would happen to us, what saves us from who we were, not just from what we did, but what saved us from who we were and made us something totally new, is we were grafted into his quality of life. Into his life, his eternal life. Again, those of you who've been meandering through John together with me, remember this. In verse 15 of chapter 3, "For whoever believes may in him have eternal life." May in him have eternal life. And so the same writer, John, These are some pieces to the puzzle, but hopefully we'll tie them all together. If you've heard these before, just hang in there because it's important. First John 1, verse 1. "What was from the beginning, what we've heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we beheld with our hands, and handled concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father, was manifested to us." So he's not talking about a thing. He's talking about a person. He's talking about Jesus. Eternal life is the life that Jesus lives and our participation in that. Does it last forever? Yes. But it lasts forever in intimate union with him. And again, this is John, 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. "And the witness is this, that God has given us," God has given us. You won't receive eternal life when you die. You got it the moment you became a Christian. "God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the eternal life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life." So to be saved is to be grafted in to the eternal life of Jesus and to participate in the life that Jesus lives. The verses that Bracken read. We're in red today, by the way, even though it's Christmas season, and so white is what you wear in Christmas season. yesterday was the feast of St. Stephen. Remember the song, King Wenceslas? It's on St. Stephen's Day. This is the feast of St. John, the one who wrote all this stuff. So this is those verses that Bracken read again without getting too into all the weeds here. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he wishes. So there's that word life. For not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son. And again, remember where Jesus said in John 3:17 that he did not come into the world to judge the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So the Father gave all the judgment to Jesus, and Jesus took all the judgment on himself so that those who believe get to experience life. That's the mercy of God. In verse 24, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life. It does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear shall live. So he's talking about those who are spiritually dead coming to life. Just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gives to the Son also to have life in himself. This life, this eternal life, this Christian life, when you become a Christian, you're grafted into the life that Jesus says that he himself has. It's not something that he just gives us and says, Amelia, I'm now giving you eternal life. No, it's not like that. He says, Amelia, I'm bringing you in to my eternal life because I have life itself. I carry life itself. Jesus' life was the light of men. In him was life, it says in John chapter 1. I love this scripture, and one of the reasons I love this is not just because of what it says. Remember that the man who wrote this, John the apostle, he wrote this when he was 95 years old. When he was 93 years old, he wrote the book of the Revelation. He's still having these encounters with God and visions with God. And at 95 years old, now he had known the Lord for over 60 years now, he wrote this because after all those years, he was able to clearly say, Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So the question I would ask you is this. Is that the life that you experience? Do you experience abundant life, even in a fallen world that has a lot of chaos and heartache? Do you know life and life abundant as a Christian? Because so many Christians that I know don't have a clue what it means to be a Christian. They're Christians. Their sins are forgiven. They know they're going to go to heaven one day. But what they don't know is they've actually been grafted into the life that Jesus lives so they can experience his life. His level of peace, the fruit of the Spirit's love and joy, peace. That's Jesus' level of love and joy and peace. Patience, kindness, goodness. That's Jesus' level of patience, kindness, and goodness. Just think if you could be as patient as Jesus. Wouldn't that be nice to not lose your patience anymore? Because losing your patience isn't a lot of fun. Not just to you who are experiencing the misery of being impatient, but all those who get to enjoy your miserableness that comes all over them for you being impatient. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, the kindness of Jesus, goodness. Wouldn't you like to experience Jesus, his level of kindness in relationship to other people? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. That's the life that he's come to offer us. This is what he's saying in 1 John. This is the great expression of the love of God. I didn't just say, tap you on the shoulder and say your sins are forgiven because you've prayed the prayer. And so your sins are forgiven. You've gone down to the altar. Your sins are forgiven. And you're going to go to heaven one day. And the Holy Spirit's there to help you be as miserable as you've always been. And to treat people as miserably as you've always treated them. No, I've come because there's life in me. And I didn't give something to you. I gave something to you by giving me to you. I've grafted you into me, and therefore you can know my level of life and life more abundant. That's the gospel. That's what makes it so incredibly good news. That's why the word gospel, the original word gospel, literally means the public declaration of a victory so great that it changes everything. That's good news. And the good news is because we've been placed into Christ, it changes everything. You say, well, Bishop, I've really blown it in my life. He understands. But no matter what's happened in the past in your life, even as a believer, Jesus is there in union with you, still just waiting for you to give him permission to live that life that he's longed to live through you from the beginning. Doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are or how long it's been. He came to save you from yourself, not just from what you did, so you'll go to heaven. He came to save you from yourself that you might experience heaven on earth on the way to heaven. That's the gospel. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.